Mark's Gospel today, Mark's Gospel chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, Mark 4, 35 to 41, in a sermon entitled, When a Storm is Raging, Mark 4, 35. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Father, we thank you for this promise, for this message about the storms of life that can rage in our lives. Speak to us by your word, to each of us at our points of need, in Christ's name. Amen. Benjamin Franklin was one of the cleverest men of his generation, and it was said in the spring of 1772, he attended a party thrown by Lord Shelburne at one of Shelburne's estates, and the other guests watched as Franklin approached a turbulent stream with his gold-headed bamboo cane in hand. He boasted to the other guests that he could calm the water. He was upstream about 100 yards and waving his cane over the stream three times in the best abracadabra fashion. He stepped back, his feat accomplished. And soon he was basking in the admiration and the adulation as the guests marveled at how he had miraculously made the rough surface of the water as smooth as glass. Franklin finally explained that he had simply spread oil on the troubled waters. He released it on the rough surface of the waters, just a couple drops of oil concealed in his hollow magic cane. It's an old trick used by sailors over the centuries. They traditionally dump barrels of oil into the sea to calm the stormy waters. They may be on to something. I'll tell you, having said that, I must add that there is one who did smooth troubled waters over 2,000 years ago, and he did not need any oil, and he did not need any trickery. He spent a long day beside the Sea of Galilee, teaching the multitudes of people about the kingdom of God. So here we have Jesus, the disciples are with him, and he is teaching them. They're in class, Betsy. Summer vacation on the water has not yet happened. And so he's teaching them. Hopefully they're listening. Hopefully they're receiving an education. Evening is coming, and so Jesus says to his disciples in the passage, "Hey guys, let's go to the other side." Evening comes, let's go to the other side. A lot of times Jesus would do that in the busyness of ministry. No one wanted to leave him alone. He wanted to go, he wanted to get away from the crowds. People still had more questions. They still had more work for him to do. And so he made his way across the sea. He is tired. Well, why not? He's had a hard day. I remember when I was teaching eighth grade, I would get to the end of the year. There was so much going on. There are times that I would sleep for a week where I was just so exhausted. Thank God the year is over. So he was tired. He was working hard. He was teaching about the kingdom of God, and he falls asleep in the stern of the boat. And he falls asleep, and all of a sudden this furious storm, as the Bible calls it, this furious squall comes up, and the waves break over the boat The boat is nearly swamped. And we're told that such storms are very common on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is more than 600 feet below sea level. It's a relatively small body of water, 10 miles long, 4 miles wide, but it's 150 feet deep. And because that the sea is so far below sea level and it's surrounded by mountains, so you're thinking, okay, sea, below sea level, down, mountains all around, you get the picture. Students of the subject say that it is particularly susceptible to sudden storms. Winds sweeping across the land come up over the mountains, creating downdrafts on the water, and combined with thunderstorms that just appear suddenly, the water can stir violently into 20-foot waves. Okay, so 6'2", 6'2", 6'2", this is the wave. You're getting a picture. This is a big, big wave. This is not choppy on the water. This is scary, big old wave. So, the sea on that Sea of Galilee can get calm one minute and violent the next. And it's not surprising that the wind and the waves threatened to swamp the little boat that had Jesus and his disciples in it. And what happened is you also got to get a picture of the boat, because you're thinking, okay, I'm thinking boat, 20-foot waves, get it, but I'm still trying to figure out how it could be swamped. But the fishing boats had low sides. So now think about the boat, big enough for the disciples and Jesus, sleeping on the cushion, but the sides, they're fishing. They got to bring the nets. They can't have a long way to get it, so they're low sides, so they could cast those nets. And so such boats could be easily tossed about, more easily than a boat that would be made for just transporting. They're in a fishing boat, a specific boat. And given the right circumstances, such a boat could be capsized by the wind and waves. And it's also interesting, isn't it interesting, storms of life come, and these storms usually do not happen at night. Usually the storms come up during the day, which is, as you might imagine, a little bit easier to take. It's not nice to have waves coming at you, but if you can see them, at least you can prepare. But it's dark. I mean, it's dark. No lights like we have. It's dark, pitch black. And the waves are coming over. This is scary stuff. And I got to tell you, everything appears a little bit scarier when the sun is set anyway. But these were seasoned fishermen. These are people that have been around the block regarding the Sea of Galilee. These are men who have done this before. They've seen these storms before. And so for them to believe that they're going to die, this is no normal, ordinary storm. It's happening at night. Unusual. It's happening with unbelievable ferocity. And so even though they're used to it, because, you know, all of us are tossed about at times with the trials of life, but there are times when night comes, the waves are bigger than usual. The storm is more intense than the usual everyday one. And we can be overcome, overwhelmed. And even if we aren't, we can at the very least be absolutely terrified. Terrified that the result will be something where we are threatened with loss. Loss of some kind. They are panic-stricken. And they come to him and they ask him a question. He's sleeping. How he is sleeping, I gotta tell you, this guy was sleeping. This is a ferocious storm. This is 20-foot waves. This is rock the boat storm. Jesus was not a light sleeper. He really knew how to sleep. Praise the Lord, for he grants sleep to those that he loves. So here we go. Furious squall comes up. They ask him, "Teacher," verse 38, "don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we die? Don't you care if we are utterly destroyed?" Now, please remember what had just happened. They had just been on one side of the sea receiving his teaching on the kingdom of God. They're receiving the lessons that now the storms of life were allowing them to figure out whether they could put it into practice. Now, I have to tell you, I do not feel as though I am any better than the disciples. They probably had more faith than I would have had at that moment. And thank God, Robin, you had a good time on the boat because we waited for this sermon until you got back. So, don't you care if we perish? Now, all of us, if we're honest, have asked the same question at some point in our lives. Sudden storms arise in our lives. They come on us without notice. We are surprised by them. We may not be ready for them. We just came through something else. We're tired. We've been with Jesus all day long teaching on the other side. This is not a convenient time for a crisis. This is not a convenient time for a storm. And yet so often, these health crises will happen. A family crisis. The loss of a much-needed job. Whatever the storm might be. And in your life and mine, it appears at times that just like with the disciples, we think that Jesus is asleep. It is one thing to say, and I truly do believe, that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. But what if he's sleeping? Doesn't he know that there are 20-foot waves? Doesn't he know that it's dark? Doesn't he know that we're terrified and panic-stricken? Do not we as well cry out to him, "Don't you care if we perish?" But the reality is Jesus does care. But there are also times when it appears that he is sleeping. Now, I don't think this is going to come as a surprise to any of you, but all of you have or will go through storms at one point or another. William Cowper certainly did, one of the most popular poets of his time. He changed the direction of the 18th century nature poetry by writing of everyday life and scenes of the English countryside. And in many ways, he was one of the forerunners of romantic poetry. Samuel Taylor Coleridge called him the best poet of his time. And yet there came a time in this talented, gifted man's life when his despair was so great that he tried to end it all. He swallowed enough poison that it should have killed him. But it didn't. Then he went to the Thames and he intended to hurl himself over a bridge. But something strangely restrained him. The next morning, he fell on a sharp knife and broke the blade. Once again, he survived. Failing in every one of these attempts at suicide, he tried to hang himself. Someone found him, took him down, found that he was just unconscious, and revived him. Later, he picked up a Bible and began to read the book of Romans. And it was then that he finally met the God who calms storms, including the storms in his own life. And it's obvious that he wrote from these experiences as well when he penned these memorable words, "God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm." So it is with people. Our greatest danger is not the external conditions that make up our environment, but the storms that sometimes rage within us. They rage in our own minds, and they are storms many times of our own making. We can live in the biggest, most majestic house imaginable. We can live in the nicest, safest neighborhood, gated, underground utilities, beautifully landscaped. But if there is something rolling around on the inside of our lives, we can be in mortal danger. And the worst part is that sometimes during the roughest part of the storm, Jesus seems to be asleep. Now, you know what I'm talking about. If you've been a Christian for any length of time at all, you've gotten a lousy prognosis from the doctor. Your spouse tells you that he or she wants a divorce. You get laid off. One of your children is mortally ill. And quite naturally, you fall on your knees. You fall on your knees before God, as you have done so many times before. But this time, the silence is deafening. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray some more, and the tears run down your face. Life is banging around inside your chest and your mind. Nothing seems to happen when you ask and plead for divine help. And you think to yourself, where is God when I need him? All of us can look back over our lives and see a series of unanswered prayers, but all that is forgotten when we encounter a truly horrible situation. It's one thing to pray for your aunt to come visit you for 10 years and be glad that she's here. But it's another to get to that place when you are given a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer and you've got 3 weeks to live. We ask God why he doesn't intervene. We cry out to him in our distress. Don't you care if I perish? Don't my griefs matter to you, God? Don't my heartaches matter to you, God? Is there anyone there? Is there anyone there who sees what I'm going through? Is there anyone there who understands what I'm going through? Teacher, do you not care that we perish? Ask the frightened disciples. Every believer goes through that at one point or another. C.S. Lewis, unbelievably gifted person that can share with you depths of mind and heart and a relationship with God that is so tender and close. But he is one of those guys kind of like Neil Clark. Waits for a long time. And Neil is so happy with his wife. But so long in life, he does not have that woman that just completes his being. And he finds her. They find each other. Her name was Joy. And the joy that she brought to his life, the joy that they brought to each other's lives, was something to behold. And yet God gave them only 4 years. 4 years! And then she died of cancer. They were so in love. And the death of his wife was too much for him to bear. He went in to a depression that was deep. Deep. And he did the only thing that he knew to do. He wrote during that time, and he filled several journals, which were later compiled and published under the title, A Grief Observed. With the untimely death of his wife, Lewis' unwavering faith was called into question. It seemed to him that the God who was so unbelievably, wonderfully present, who gave him this tremendous, amazing gift, this taste of heaven, allows in his sovereignty this catastrophe to happen. And soon after joyous death, his wife's death, he wrote these words. Where is God? When you're happy, so happy that you have no sense of needing him, so happy that you're tempted to feel his claims upon you as an interruption, if you remember yourself and turn to him with gratitude and praise, you will be, or so it feels, welcomed with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate. Go to him when all other help is in vain. And what do you find? Lewis writes, a door slammed in your face. The sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. And after that silence, you may as well turn away. For the longer you wait, the more emphatic the silence will become. What does this mean? Why is God so present a commander in our times of prosperity and so absent a help in times of trouble? That is a question every generation of Christians has asked. Martin Luther, founder of the Reformation, known to have deep fits of depression. Nothing would help. Even when he was able to translate the Bible into German, listen to his words. For more than a week, I was close to the gates of death and hell. I trembled in all my members. Christ was wholly lost. I was shaken by desperation and by blasphemy of God. Two of the most notable believers of our faith, if they can go through such times, what does that say about you and me? All of us go through storms. And at such times, it seems as if God is asleep. But listen to the beautiful words of the psalmist. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The story in Mark's gospel is an affirmation, yes. Jesus does care. He does care. When the storms of life are raging, he does care. When it seems that you cannot hold on even one moment longer, he does care. When the waters threaten to engulf you, he does care. And isn't it great? The disciples, go wake him up. They really have to shove him, and he does what only the master can do. Verse 39, he got up. Praise the Lord. He got up. He rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. Quiet, be still. And at that moment, the Bible says the wind died down and it was completely calm. It wasn't just the waves went from 20 feet to 2 feet. It was completely calm. The storm, by the words of Jesus himself, were calm. Then he says to the disciples, who have just gone through this horrible, no good, very bad storm with 20-foot waves at night. He says to them, why are you so afraid? Okie dokie, why are you so afraid? You only have pancreatic cancer. Come on now. Do you have no faith? And they were terrified twice. It's really interesting. They were terrified during the storm, and then when Jesus calms the storm and he speaks to them, they are totally terrified. Totally terrified in the midst of the calm. And they ask each other, even though, let's remember, just where they were on the other side while he was teaching them about the kingdom of God, they ask each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. The central question is in life is not how many storms we encounter. The question is whether we have faith for the storms. All of us are going to encounter them. Sometimes it will seem as though God himself has forsaken us. And at those times, our faith will be even more critical than ever. Think if Lewis had not grounded himself in the Word of God. Think if Luther had not grounded himself in the Word of God. Think if they had not prayed. Think if they had not built their faith. What would have happened when the waves of life came over them, when depression hit them so hard that Luther is ready to blaspheme against God? Lewis thinks that God not only slams the door on him when he asks for help, but also bolts it. That's especially a vivid picture. It's like God's not only slamming the door, he is locking it and then double locking it. Every single lock he's completing. The late John Claypool was one of America's finest preachers. And when he was at the height of his popularity as a pastor, he lost his six-year-old daughter, Laura Lou. She died of leukemia. And in his book, Tracts of a Fellow Struggler, he described how one evening, while he was sitting alone in silence and filled with despair, he realized that he could either spend the rest of his life mourning the loss of his daughter, who he would never get to see grow up, graduate, get married, or he could look back in joy and say, thank you. Thank you, God, for the gift of my daughter, Laura Lou, and the six best years of my life. John Claypool chose to trust God with his storm. Can you? Can I? Do you believe in a God who loves you and has promised to never forsake you? Do you believe that however dark the clouds may be, that behind those clouds the sun still shines? Do you believe that beyond every cross there is an empty tomb? If you do, if you do, you can weather the storm, however severe. If you do not, today is the day to appropriate that faith for yourself. For without it, when the storms come your way, you will be overcome. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word today. And I pray for each person here because I know there are people going through rough storms and there are others that have no idea that a storm is just around the corner. Lord, help us to pray. Teach us to pray. Help us to spend time in your word. Help us to spend time gathering together with one another to be blessed by you. For it is by having those times together, by having that study and prayer together, that our faith will be strengthened for the storms that will surely come. Help us, O God, and increase our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.